Well, I'll promise to keep this under an hour. It's not going to be very hard. Ron's already spoken most of the stuff I've got, so we don't have to worry about it. Well, good evening, everybody. It is sundown, and so we are now in the season of our joy. And we want to welcome you here. And I do want to say a special prayer real quickly here just to give thanks to Yahweh as we've opened the end of this day. You might want to stand. Abba, blessed are you, the great and mighty God. We praise you, Abba, for all that you do. And we praise you, and we thank you, Father, for the kindness that you've shown to us by enlightening us with the knowledge of your ways. And it's truly a blessing to us, Father. So we pray that you would be with us throughout this 8 days, and that you would help us in all things to honor you in what we do and say, and to help each other, Father, to enjoy the joy of your salvation through Messiah Yeshua. We bless you, Father, and we praise you, and thank you for all this now in Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, just like Ron said, about 13 years ago, we did start Season of Our Joy. We were trying to find a way to take and have a somewhat out-of-the-box way of keeping the festival, something that would release us from the dogma of the church. Have any of you been captivated by the dogma of the church? Okay, so we wanted to get away from the dogma of the church. We wanted to get away from a sightseeing, beach-combing feast. Many of us here have experienced sightseeing, beach-combing feast. We wanted to get away from that. And we also wanted to provide a venue by which you could take and hold the speakers accountable. And so with those things in mind, we developed Season of Our Joy, or the concept of Season of Our Joy, and we've got it here today. That very first year, back in 1999, we had 300 people in attendance. At least we had 300 people registered. This year we have 938 registered. And so it's grown a little bit over the years. And I just like Ron said, providing services for 900 people takes a lot of work. And so we're counting on you to help us with that. But to help us to see some of the people who have already put a lot of work into this, I want to introduce our leadership team. I hope they're all here, starting with Ron McCowan. You met Ron and Donna over here a second ago. They've been with us all along. Ron's put all the work in getting it started, so now he can sort of kick back a little bit. And so he's sort of semi-retired a little bit. He's given up a little bit of his responsibilities to others. And one of those persons that took that on was Mark Roth. Mark and Linda Roth, where are you guys? They're back over here, okay? And Mark now, if you have any problems, if you don't like what your teens or your children have been taught, you can go to Mark, not to me. And then we've got Lee and Jackie Miller. Lee is in charge of the worship. Is Lee here?
Way back there.
Lee is way back there in the back. Okay. Lee came to me, called me one day in year 2000, and said, "Hey, I can help you guys." And we needed help. So Lee stepped forward, and he has filled a tremendous gap over the years. And he is in charge of the worship and also all the technical stuff. So if you can't hear, he can't help it if you can't hear. But if you can't hear very clearly, you can talk to Lee. He's in charge of stuff like that. And basically inside the auditorium, all the technical inside the auditorium. So we want to thank these guys because they've all put a tremendous amount of work. And also, before we do, I want to give special thanks to the dancers. The dance leadership team this year took a week out of their year and came down to little bitty Hawkins, Texas, and put together a dance video so you can learn the dances and enjoy the worship and not stumble all over each other. So I really want to thank the dancers and any of you dancers, dance leaders. How many we got here tonight? Okay, they put a tremendous amount of work in this and putting this together, and this is going to become hopefully a tradition for us. So this is the team that's come together to make the festival more of a joy to you. But I want to talk about something other than that today, because I want to introduce another program. You know that after the death of King Solomon, King Saul, that King David became king, right? But he didn't become king over all Israel right away, did he? He was only king. He was king over Judah for 7 years, and during those 7 years, the southern tribes of Israel that we commonly call Judah and the northern tribes of Israel that the Bible calls Israel were at war with each other quite often. But that wasn't the way God intended. God intended for King David to be king over all Israel. So 7 years later, the leaders of the northern tribes came down to Judea, and they talked to King David, and they said, "David, we would like for you to be king over us as well." And by doing so, and as when they did so, Israel and Judah became a united kingdom. The northern tribes and the southern tribes came together. They became a united kingdom. And in spite of the fact that the Ark of the Covenant was in the northern tribes, and you might say that they had somewhat control over it, they divested themselves of some of this power and authority they had in order to be united with Judah during this time. And if you've read the scriptures there, you see that that time began a series of events that led to what we call the Golden Age of Israel. It's a time when Israel just blossomed, and if you've ever read any of Steve Collins' books, you can see that it became quite a thing, quite an incredible thing, and it actually changed world history. I'm going to read you a scripture here. It's out of 1 Chronicles 12, verse 40. It says, and this is speaking of that time, it says, "Moreover, those who were near to them, from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun to Naphtali, were bringing food on donkeys and camels, on mules and oxen, provisions of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine and oil, oxen and sheep, abundantly, for there was joy in Israel." There was joy in Israel when the northern tribes and the southern tribes came together. And this is a very important thing for us to remember. King David brought peace to Israel due to the strength of his wisdom as far as his military might. He brought peace. And as a result of that peace, as a result of what King David did, Israel had 40 years of complete peace during the time of King Solomon. We, along with thousands of people around the world, we're not the only feast site. There's thousands of people around the world keeping the Feast of Tabernacles tonight, all over the country, and all around, like I said, all around the world. And our purpose for being here is not to just enjoy this somewhat utopian feeling. Our purpose in the millennium is not going to be to just enjoy a utopian feeling. Because we know that in the millennium we've got a job to do. We're being called at this time so that we can help others enjoy the joy of God's way. And we know that, for instance, we've got to be the type of people that would cause the king of Egypt to want to come and be a part of the people of Jerusalem and people of Israel. Because if we are not that light that would draw him, the king of Egypt, to come, what's going to happen to Egypt? They're going to have famine, right? It's not much joy in a famine. So it's our responsibility to take and be this light to people so that we can draw others to God and to His way. Now, just as it was with Israel and Judah back in King David's day, the tribes came together. And as a result of the tribes coming together, God was able to work with a united Israel. We, being that many of us believe we're Joes, you know what I mean? Okay, how many Joes out here? All right. Those of us who believe we're Joes, or maybe Issachars or whatever, we've got a responsibility to do also, and that is to get together with our brother Judah. Because just like in King Solomon's day and King David's day, you know, there is no new thing under the sun. If there is going to be peace in a millennial kingdom, then it's going to require the tribes to come together. Tonight I want to submit to you that God may have inspired the first century Jewish people, those people who lived in the land during the days of Messiah Yeshua, to begin a tradition that might have served to unite the people of God, the tribes of Israel and the tribes of Judah. It appears that in the first century, the Judeans were the Jews that lived down around Jerusalem. And the Jews who lived in the southern part or the northern part of Israel, they started a tradition. Now, we know that the people in the south didn't really think a lot of the Galileans, the people that lived in the north, because we know that You know, they sort of talked a little bit funny. You know, Peter talked a little bit funny. We know that they would say that, you know, you can't have a Messiah can't come out of Galilee, you know. So these Galileans, they were looked down upon by those from the south. And so this tradition was started, and I don't know if it was started for this purpose, but I think the tradition that was started helped to bring a little bit of unity to that. Because what would happen, and during the Feast of Tabernacles, what would happen was that those people from the north, from the Galilee and the other areas of the north, would begin to make a pilgrimage down to the south. They would take the road down along the Jordan River. And as they came south, more and more people would join in with them. And you know, as they came further and further south, more and more people from the south would join in them. More and more of the Judean Jews would join in them. And so as they would keep on going, and as they were heading south, though they were thinking they were going up to Jerusalem, they began to walk side by side with their Jewish brothers. And so by doing so, when they got down to Jerusalem, they were somewhat of a united group of people. And you know that during that time, while those people from the north were making the trip down to the south, those in the south, those Judeans, were down there trying to make the city ready. They were taking and painting the tombstones so that the people wouldn't get corpse uncleanliness and not be able to offer their sacrifices. They were fixing up bridges. They were fixing up roads. They were fixing up houses. And so the Jewish people were trying, or the Jews in the south were trying to accommodate the Jews coming down from the north, or the Israelites coming down from the north. And it was all for the purpose that they could all enjoy the joy of the festival. All these travels and all these preparations were not made just so the people could hear a particular speaker, or to be a part of a big seminar or a big convention. They were all coming down there because for one purpose, and that purpose was because God had told them to. It was a commandment of God to go south. It was a commandment of God for them to get together in Jerusalem. It didn't have to do with wanting to hear anybody. It was just because they were told to do so. And since they were simply told to do so, they did it with joy, and they did it in a frame of mind to accommodate their fellow brothers and sisters in order to try to make it a joy for them as well. It's much the same for us today. There's been a lot of preparations gone into putting this festival together. And there's many people that have not been mentioned, but you'll see them as you go through the week that are working very hard to make this a joy for you. They probably don't agree with you in your biblical beliefs in every way. There's differences in everything. I was talking to a fellow last night who was talking to me about an issue that he just couldn't see why people couldn't understand it. And then I said, well, I guess I can't understand it either. And, you know, we're that people, you know. We're a different group of people. We're here because we can have a difference in view, but yet we can still get along. But what I want to impress upon you now is that we can build our joy by taking and working together, pitching in, like Ron said, helping out, and also by taking and being willing to accommodate another person's beliefs, and being willing to take and try to make everything a joy for them in spite of the differences that we may have. It's just like it was for Judah and Israel. The Jewish people in the south thought the Jews in the north were just crazies, I guess. But nevertheless, our Messiah came out of Galilee. All right. So, beginning tomorrow morning, or I guess it's actually only tomorrow morning we're going to do this, beginning at 9:25 tomorrow morning, we're going to sort of replicate this leaving Galilee and going to Jerusalem. And we're calling it Going Up. Now, we've done this in years past, but we're going to try to do it in a bigger way this year. And so at 9:25 tomorrow morning, a throng of people are going to meet down here in the campground, and they're going to start working their way up. And they're going to be coming up with banners and shofar and flags and what else, you know, all kinds of things. And tambourines, yes. Those of you who sleep late, you'll probably be woken up. So, but we're going to try this, and we're hoping to make something happen tomorrow that are going to make at least the staff at Windermere take notice. If they haven't already taken notice that there's 925 people here in the off season, but we want them to take notice, and we want also to make the festival a joy for them. So we would encourage all of you to meet with us tomorrow night or tomorrow morning at 9:25, and we'll all get ready, and we'll all. You don't have to start down here, but you can start anywhere along the way, and just join in as if we're going up to Jerusalem, and have your shofars out, and let's see if we can shout, make a teruah to God on this festival day. How about it? So let's begin the festival with the joy and with the shout.